If you don't have a Bible, just grab one underneath the chair in front of you. It should be Bibles. And find the Gospel of Matthew, and you want to find chapter 5. So we are going to play a game this morning. Have you seen the game Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? You've seen that? Okay. We've got even something better than that. The game is Who Wants to Get to Heaven? So I need like 12 contestants to play my game. Can I have 12 volunteers, 12 contestants? Yeah, come on down. Come, my 12 contestants. Grab some seats right up front here. All right, here's some good. Let me see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Oh, here's. All right, we got our 12. Come on down. This is like The Price is Right or something. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay, you're excited, contestants. You want to get to heaven?
Hopefully, right on. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Hopefully one of you or a couple of you should make it to heaven. So Matthew chapter 5. At least one person brought their Bible. How many of you brought your Bible up? Oh, you're going to be tough. Yeah. Are you texting the Lord, Tim, on your phone? Is that what you're doing? Okay. Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to start in verse 17. Jesus is speaking to the people. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law. That's the commandments of God. Or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And that's why I want to teach what God's word says. It doesn't matter what man thinks. What does God think? Verse 20. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. And then he's going to give 6 commands. If you have a Bible, they should be like headings. The first one you notice is murder, then adultery, divorce, oaths, eye for eye, and love for enemies. There are going to be 6 commands through the rest of the chapter that he is going to go over. And we will see if our contestants can get through these 6 commands in round 1 before we come to round 2 to see if you get to go to heaven. So, command number 1 is in verse 21. And they all start out, these 6 commands in the rest of chapter 5, they all start out with, you have heard that it is said. So Jesus is talking about what's being passed down. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. In other words, you're not going to heaven. So contestants, if any one of you have killed someone, you've murdered someone in cold blood, you cannot go to heaven. You will be subject to judgment. Are the 12 contestants okay? Oh, no. No. Oh.
I killed her. But she deserved it. She was trying to take my job.
You are out of here. You cannot make it. Goodbye. First contestant gone. Come to verse, the second command is in verse 27. You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. If you've committed adultery, I'm sorry, you're disqualified and you cannot go to heaven. Are any of you guilty of breaking? Oh no, Don, not you.
Okay, you caught me. I thought this person was the key to my happiness. My marriage is growing so stale.
Oh, and I didn't even know you were married, Don. These are professional actors and actresses, by the way. All right. Commandment number 3 is in verse 31. You'll notice each one of them says it's been said. So that's how we know the different ones. Verse 31. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. You have to do it legally. Back then, some of the Jewish people believed if you just told your wife 3 times, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you, that was it. They were divorced. But the Pharisees were saying, no, you got to give a certificate. You got to make it legal, not just say it 3 times. Are any of you guilty of getting divorced in a wrong... Oh, no, Cleet! Oh, no.
You caught me.
Divorce. That's right, it's me. I have been married to 2 women.
No!
But, I didn't hesitate at all to divorce my first wife in California when I met my second wife in Pennsylvania.
You, Cleet, go, you're out. Is your wife here?
No.
Yeah. Which one? Oh, well, okay. All right, we're not doing too well, but this is, you know, not everyone can get to heaven. Okay, Matthew 5:33 is the 4th one. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. If you've made any, when you make a promise to the Lord, you're to fulfill it. If you made a promise to the Lord and you did not fulfill it, you are not making it. Anyone here guilty of not breaking? Oh, Matthew! You're named after one of the Gospels in the Bible.
I'm out of here, too. I made some promises to God. I've broken them. I gave Pastor Joe the evil eye. Promised God I'd be nice, but I couldn't do it.
You are definitely out of here. Oh. Next one is in verse 38. Chapter 5, verse 38. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. To take exact revenge. If someone hurts your arm, you can hurt their arm. If someone kicks you, you can kick them. Has everyone been good at being, you know, following revenge, eye for eye, tooth for tooth? Oh, no, Tom!
My neighbor, we had a disagreement. They threw garbage in our yard, and we didn't like it. And I threw a couple of bags back in their yard, and they wouldn't give me my money back, so I took stuff from them that they didn't. I felt was much more valuable to get revenge back on them, and I had to confess I did that, and I wanted to get them in trouble with the township. Would that disqualify me?
You're out. Yes. You threw more garbage back than they threw at you? Yes. You went beyond the law. You are eliminated. All right. Number 6. The 6th one is in verse 43. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor, but hate your enemy. Have the rest of you contestants, have you been loving your neighbor and hating your enemy?
Yes, I'm the next one.
Not only do I hate my enemies, I haven't even been loving to my neighbors. They come and ask me for sugar or eggs, and I tell them I don't even have any, when I really do.
You are out. That is very unloving. You're eliminated. Well, not bad. We have 6 contestants left. We went through the 6th commandment. In fact, here you guys are. I am declaring you saints. There are medals waiting for your sainthood, that you have made it through the 6 commandments. In fact, if you were living back in those days, they wouldn't call you a saint, because that's a term that came later on in the church age. They would be like a Pharisee. a teacher of the law. Those were the religious people of that day. Pharisees are ones who really kept the law, just these six laws, just like you've kept it. So welcome to Mars Alliance, my six Pharisees. Now, there is one catch now as we go to round two. All right, there is a catch here, and you need to look back at verse 20. Everyone look back at verse 20 again. And here's what Jesus says in verse 20 to review, because you might have missed it the first time through when I said it. Jesus says, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness does what? Surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." So unfortunately, you are only at the righteousness of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. But Jesus says your righteousness has to surpass them. You have to be super saints, all right? Otherwise, you don't get to go to heaven. Do you follow that, contestants? So now let us look at these six commandments that Jesus gave and show you what God really meant, the depths of each of these commandments, so that your righteousness even surpasses the most holiest people of those days. So let's come to murder again. So we're going to review. Let's come to murder. And look at verse 21 again. "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder. And to anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment." Again, anyone who says to his brother, "Raca," is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, "You fool," will be in danger of what? The fire of hell. So you see, the commandment, do not murder, it goes even deeper. It applies to if you get angry at someone. If you're driving down the highway, contestants, and someone cuts you off in their vehicle, and you go, "You idiot!" You're out. You're going to the fires of hell. Okay? Anytime you call your spouse, you get mad at your spouse, they don't do something, and you go, you're out. You got angry. Oh, I have here. Here's how often, I looked this up on the internet this week. Here's how often the average couple fights. 2,455 times a year. Okay? Now, if you want to know what you fight over, here it is. The main reasons of arguments, telling your spouse they don't listen to you, 112 times a year. Arguing over what to eat for dinner, 92 times. Driving too fast, 91 times. Walking past things that need to go upstairs. Praise God, we live in a ranch. Now we fight over my wife going, "Take the garbage down." Dirty house, 90 times. What to watch on television, 89 times. Disciplining the children, 88 times. Praise God, our last child is 18. We have now reduced the arguments in our home by 88 times per year. Okay. Dirty washing left around the house, 88 times. When to have sex, 87 times. Well, contestants, have you ever lost your cool and been angry at someone?
Murderers, hatred, this is just crazy.
Tom, are you okay?
I get mad.
Ushers?
I've had times when I hate my wife.
Oh.
I hate my boss. I hate my job. Matter of fact, sometimes I hate my parents. And you know what? Right now, I hate you for putting me on the spot. So I am out of here.
Have you thought of a soap opera career? All right. Well, thank goodness that the other five contestants have never been angry in their life. That's amazing, isn't it? Yes. Okay. Let's come to the next one, which is adultery. Verse 27. You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But wait, that's where the Pharisees are, but we have to surpass that. What does the commandment really mean in its depth? Verse 28. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, like let's say you're looking at pornography and you're lusting, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to have one part of your body, to lose one part of your body, than for your whole body to be what? Thrown where? Into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin as you're moving the computer to pull up the pornographic site, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for the whole body to go into hell. So if you're guilty of lust, man, that's bad news. Are any of you guilty of lust? Pastor Dave!
Yes.
Ah! Does the Alliance know about this?
No. I have to admit, I've had problems with lust. I just can't help myself. It's so frustrating. The computer makes it so easy. But don't worry, because I use Pastor Gary's computer, so I don't get caught.
Shame on you. You're not going to heaven. In the first service, a person confessed to lusting at the beach. And his wife said, we're going to blindfold him every time he goes to the beach from here on out. All right. Divorce. Verse 31. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to commit adultery. And anyone who marries a woman so divorced commits adultery. Look, Jesus raises the level. It's not just to get divorced using a lawyer. You have to have a biblical ground to get divorce. Did any of you get divorced and you did not have biblical grounds for divorce? Pastor Gary, he just dedicated your grandchild to the...
But I wasn't unfaithful. And besides, I beat the odds.
I was only given 5 years. I made it 37 years. It's just because, you get tired of things. I buy a new car every 2 years. I figured it's time to get a new wife. So I'm...
Is your wife here?
Don't tell her.
Oh. All right. Well, let's go to oaths, verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. You don't get to heaven. In other words, you can't be lying. You can't say, well, I didn't swear to do that. I just said I would do it. But since I didn't swear to God, I don't have to do it because I only have to keep what I swear to. Jesus says, forget the swearing. If you say you're going to do something, you do it. If you say you're not going to do something, you don't do it. Let your yes be yes, your no, no. Anything else, you're lying. Are any of you guilty of lying? No.
Didn't realize that I had to honor everything I say, just the things I swore to.
Oh, you are out of here. Okay. Well, eye for eye. Verse 38. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Don't take revenge. Are any of you? Tim? Oh, no.
For the most part, I'm a pretty nice guy. You're nice to me, I'm nice to you. But if you hurt me, I hurt you.
No.
I don't let it go.
You're supposed to turn your cheek. You're out. Well, yeah, it's feeling empty. J.R. Verse 43. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Actually, though that was a saying, that did not come from God. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Well, JR, are you guilty of... Oh, no. No.
I'm out too. It's impossible for anyone to get to heaven. I can understand loving my neighbors. Love my enemies? Once in a while. I can't do it consistently.
Oh, no. You are out. Oh, this is horrible. Not one of our 12 contestants can get to heaven. How about any of you? How about any of you? Were any of you able, from our audience, were any of you able to have completed all 12 of those and not have been eliminated? Well, we need to look. Oh, by the way, JR, love your enemies. It really gets them confused. All right. Take a look at what Jesus says. There's like bookends to this, these six commandments and their depths. Look at verse 48. If you want to get to heaven, here's what you got to do. Look at verse 48. What's it say? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. You see, they're bookends. Look at verse 20 again. Jesus goes, for I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. And then he concludes with verse 48. If you want to get to heaven, you got to be perfect. God is a perfect God. If you're going to be in his presence, you better be perfect. How many of us can say we are perfect and we can get and we get to go to heaven? We're in trouble, aren't we? Now, here's the good news for my contestants. There are actually two ways to heaven. One way is to live a perfect life, to always have kept God's commandments. I only know of one person who's been able to do that. Who is it? It's Jesus. But there is some good news. There is a second way. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. Come with me to Romans chapter 3. So I want to share a second way in case you didn't make it the first way. Romans chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 9 of Romans 3. Romans 3, verse 9. What shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. As it is written, there is no one, what? There is no one righteous, not even one. So no one has lived a right life that they can get to heaven. Not even one person, other than Jesus, of course. Come to verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, It says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. The Ten Commandments reveal we're all sinners, and it silences us from pretending that we are righteous. Verse 20, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. So you understand that the law is to reveal to us. It's like a mirror. The law reveals to us how sinful we really are, how much we are not like God, who never lusts, who never, you know, gets angry and calls people stupid and loves God, loves his enemies. While we were yet enemies, he loved us. I mean, the law reveals how far short we fall. Verse 21. But now, here's the second path. But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who, what? Believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. See, that means because we're all sinners, we all fall short of getting to the glory of heaven, to getting into God's presence. We're all sinners. We all fall short. All the contestants, no one can make it. We all fall short to get there. Verse 24. And are justified freely. That's what I love about salvation. It's free. By his grace, through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. Christ was the only perfect person who followed the law completely so he could be the spotless Lamb of God, who then God took all of our sins and placed it on him, and he, by his atoning work, he covered over our sins by his blood. Verse 28. For we maintain that a man is justified, that you can go to heaven, by faith, by believing, apart from observing the law. Is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too, since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. So I want you to understand the Ten Commandments are very important. I'm upholding them because they reflect who God really is in his holiness and perfection. It's something, understand, we're not saved by following the Ten Commandments. You try that, you will fall short. You will fail. But understand, it is God's righteousness. And when you meet Jesus Christ, you want to, I'm not telling you, you know, there's Christians that are like, well, we don't have to follow the Ten Commandments. Is that what you're saying, Pastor? No. I'm trying to walk a holy life. I'm being transformed to be more like Jesus. But believe me, I'm far from perfect. I am still a sinful person. I still lose my anger. I've done things I'm embarrassed to talk about. I've fallen short. But now that I met Jesus, I'm striving to become like him. His Holy Spirit is working his life in me. But we're not saved. If you try to be saved by being good enough, that's why when I talk to people out there in the world, they're like, well, I think I should get to heaven. I think I'm going to be good enough that my good deeds will outweigh my bad deeds. Unfortunately, You can't get to heaven that way. You're going to fall short. The only way to get to heaven is by putting your faith in the work of Jesus Christ dying for us. This salvation is freely given. Christ pays for our sins, and he gives us his righteousness so we can be in God's presence. And so, to my audience, are there any that would love to go to heaven? The good news is if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, that is the way you can be in the presence of the Lord. You're never going to be perfect enough. We've already blown it. I've probably broken every commandment there is, okay? Many times. So if you're here this morning and you would like to be in God's presence, I'm going to pray a prayer out loud, and I want to invite you to pray along with me, and you can give your heart to Jesus. It's the only way you're going to get to heaven. Do not try to get to heaven on your good deeds and works. You're not going to make it. You get to heaven by asking Jesus Christ to be your Savior and your Lord. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. I'm going to pray a prayer out loud. And this is the greatest decision you will ever make when you ask Jesus to be your Savior, when he comes into your heart and you start this wonderful relationship with the Lord. It's amazing working with God. I'm going to warn you, you're not going to become perfect at all. I've been walking with the Lord like 35 years, and man, I still mess up. But I'm not the person I used to be. God is definitely transforming me and working in my heart, and he will in yours. I'll pray a prayer out loud, and you can pray along with me. You need to repent from trying to get to heaven on your own to letting Jesus be your Savior. Lord Jesus, I confess that I am sinful, that I have not been able to keep the Ten Commandments. But I thank you, Father, that you sent Jesus to die on the cross as in my place, that Jesus took my sins upon himself and suffered hell in my place. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me, that you would come into my heart, that you would be my Savior, you would be my Lord, you would be my God and my best friend. Thank you that my sins are under the blood of Christ. Thank you that I can stand in God's presence in heaven because Jesus paid for my sin. Thank you that I can know you personally from this day forward.